Blog Talk Radio.
What a pleasant Sunday afternoon it is. Happy New Year. Happy 2016. Can you believe it? It's 2016. And it's fabulous that we are fortunate to be among the living, to be among those who get to embrace this new year. And so I'm really happy to be here. I'm really happy to be doing discussions with Thelia, and we have a really awesome show lined up. And do remember, you can join me live by calling 619-639-4621. And, you know, there are many books written about how to make your life better. All these self-help books, there's tons and tons of these books written. And, you know, many of us have read many of them. But I often think, and especially in my work, my professional work, that sometimes it's written at a level where it's pretty therapeutic or pretty clinical and not very practical. And I'm all about the practical. I'm all about, you know, if we are going to be on this journey towards better selves, then how do we do it? And how do we do it in a way that, you know, that's not burdensome or that makes it more accommodating for us? So I thought we would start, you know, with the ABCs, looking at emotional wellness through the eyes of the ABC. And I thought for today's show that we would do the first five as I see it, right? These are practical skills, life skills that I think, and based on the work that I do with people who are trying to put their lives back together or who are working on problems, specific problems that's confined to a certain part of their lives, you know, these are skills that is reported as being helpful, is demonstrated as being helpful. And so I thought, you know, let's share that. Let's start the year out by looking at it through these lens: emotional wellness, practical skills, and moving forward with, yeah, you know, how do I do that? How do I put that into practice? How do I operationalize this? How do I make it work for me? So first five tips, skills, coping skills, strategies to help you, as I see it. And A is the first letter of the alphabet. And, you know, I've defined A as awareness. And what is awareness? You know, when you think about it, what is awareness? Awareness is consciousness. It's, you know, having knowledge about what is going on. Being aware is to be conscious, is to be present about what's going on. So I see awareness falling into two categories, and that is self-awareness, so awareness of self, and then awareness of others, so other awareness, self-awareness and other awareness. And what is self-awareness? So self-awareness is, for me, being conscious of, you know, what you're about, being present with yourself as to, okay, you know, we're not going to talk about specific tasks or behaviors or thinking, but just being real with yourself and saying, well, that's what I'm about, whatever it is. Being really present with the self and saying, you know, so I like to eat ice cream or whatever it is, and understanding what that means. You know, being honest and saying, well, I'm aware that that's a behavior that I engage in, and that behavior might mean something else for me. So really being conscious of that and being aware of that and being present with that and being okay with that. Whatever it is. This is not about judgment. It's about being okay with whatever you choose to do. So when you are self-aware, you have taken responsibility for how you're thinking, how you're behaving,
how you're feeling. You're taking responsibility for that. When you're aware, then you're conscious and present with that. You know, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, you're always conscious and present with the fact that, okay, this is my reality, and I choose to accept it as it is. Now, when you develop awareness for others, then it's recognizing that whatever their reality is, whatever their consciousness is, whatever their presence is, really, it's just recognizing it, not casting judgment on it, and not taking responsibility for it because it's not yours. You know, you can recognize it, you can see it, you can develop awareness and consciousness about it, about, you know, somebody choosing to be a smoker or not, or choosing to go to school or not, go to class or not, you know. Whatever that person chooses to do, whatever their awareness is of how they're choosing to live life consciously, you know, it's for you to recognize it, to be able to see it and accept it, not challenge it, not, you know, because it's their reality. It's, you know, or judge it. You know, maybe you can challenge it, but not necessarily judge it. So awareness requires us, one, to be really authentic, to be really conscious and present, and to take responsibility. I think that's what awareness requires us to do, is to be really thinking about, all right, you know, yeah, this is how it is. So why is it necessary for us to be aware? Or rather, reframe that. Is it necessary for us to be aware? Because if you're going to take responsibility for your life, and if everything leads back to the better self and this journey towards the better self, then why is it necessary to become aware or to have awareness? I think it is. I think it's really necessary to have awareness. So whatever reality you're choosing to accept or whatever goals you're choosing to set for yourself, then you have to take all the elements into consideration, the reality of the situation into consideration, and not delude yourself or try to imagine it as something else. So awareness becomes really critical. What is it that we're dealing with? What's the reality of what we're dealing with? And that's, you know, that's, awareness is necessary for that. And, you know, once you establish that awareness, then you can make decisions based on that, based on, you know, what you have identified and what you have accepted. And then you make your decisions based on that. So, again, you know, necessary. Moving on, you know, when we move on to the next letter of the alphabet, which is, of course, the letter B, but breathing, the breath, and the importance of the breath. And you've probably, you know, maybe not, you're not aware that there's a lot of talk about the breath. There are lots of studies about breathing. There are lots of songs about breathing. You know, people focus on this idea of breathing. But when you think about the importance of the breath, it seems such a simple, mindless sometimes thing, but it's so essential for everything else. Because if you are not breathing, then what? Right? So breathing becomes really critical for everything else. And why focus on the breath? Oftentimes when people become anxious, that's the thing they forget to do, is to breathe. You know, when you are overwhelmed or worried or troubled by something, a lot of times then people start to take shallow breaths, which, you know, add to this overall feeling of being overwhelmed or just feeling not, you know, unwell or feeling ill because they're not consciously breathing. And so a lot of effort and a lot of time and a lot of focus is required to ensure that you are focusing on the breath. And, you know, I'll tell you this, that in the work that I do,
a lot of times we do what's called, I coach my consumers on what I call mindful breathing or relaxation breathing. So they'll come in expressing anxiety about different things, and I'll say, you know, let's do some breathing exercise before we even begin to tackle the problem. Let's just do some breathing. Let's just kind of center ourselves, you know, and, you know, this is how I talk about it. Let's center ourselves and just do some breathing exercises. And, of course, there's some people who don't want to do it. You know, I have one woman tell me, I don't want to breathe. And she said, and besides that, the voices are laughing at me, and they are saying that this is stupid. And so what I coached her to do, what I encouraged her to do, was to just ask the voices to shut up. You know, that made her laugh, broke the anxiety, and then she was able to breathe. Now she breathes consistently whenever she has, and she, you know, I try to encourage you to do it every day, not just when you have a problem, but to practice breathing, breathing when you get up, you know, as part of your exercise, your awakening, your prayer, and breathing before you go to bed as part of your wind down, your relaxation, you know, you're ready for, you know, retiring to bed. Breathing becomes really important in that. So it's something that I encourage people to do, is to just sit and focus on this simple but yet most significant and powerful exercise of inhaling and being grateful and exhaling and being present, or however you want to do it, just really being aware that the breath is what connects you to your life. It's the breath that connects you to the now, and how crucial and critical breathing is. So putting time in for breathing, putting time in to just spend the time to recognize and to honor, to really honor your breath. Remember, you can call in live, 619-639-4621. So let's just, you know, spend some time. And I say to my consumers, it usually takes at least 10 breaths for you to kind of feel the benefit. You know, just taking, you know, quick breaths like that is not going to be really helpful. You really have to kind of sit and center yourself, or stand and center yourself, however you feel comfortable. And then just taking in cleansing breath, you know, just in gently through the nose and then out through the mouth. The whole exercise and that whole process and how crucial it is to your life. And then allowing that breath to help you feel, as we lead into our next letter, to feel the next coping skill, feel the ability to have compassion. And what does compassion mean? You know, I explain it to my consumers like this. Compassion is being kind. So, again, we talk, just like we did with awareness, we talk about compassion for self or compassion and compassion for others. And if compassion is being kind, you know, how do you demonstrate that kindness? You demonstrate that kindness in how you speak, in how you relate, in how you give attention. So when we talk about compassion for self, I'm saying, how do you talk to yourself? How does Delia talk to Delia about Delia? Am I using harsh words? Am I only critical? Am I only negative? Do I only look at the things that I don't do well? Or can I be kind? You know, can I recognize and validate and help myself to see that there are so many good things? And how do I communicate that to myself? You know, what's the narrative playing in my head? And is that a kind narrative? And more often than not, we are kind to others, unless you're a real jerk, right? Most people are kind to others. You're not just going to go out off your way to be nasty and mean. So more often than not, people are respectful and kind and compassionate to the other, to other people in the room, to other people in their families. And I'll tell you this, that a lot of people tell me that they're kinder to others than they are to themselves.
They're kinder to others than they are to themselves. So, you know, practicing that self-compassion. And when I want to communicate this idea of compassion, I say, whatever the problem is that you're wrestling it with, whatever the issue that you're just, you know, you're struggling with, if it were your sister or brother, your sibling, your mother or father, your parent, your friend or coworker, your colleague, and they came to you and said, you know, Delia, I'm having this problem. You know, what would you say? Well, nobody's going to say, oh, my God, you're such a loser, or my gracious, that's terrible. More often than not, people try to find something comforting, something calm, something reassuring to let the other person know that I feel for you, right, that I care about you, and to be kind in communicating, oh, I'm sorry that you're having that problem. The challenge comes in, though, when individuals have to do that for self. So, you know, we all have problems. You know, everybody has problems. But not allowing problems to define how you look at life or how you approach life. Not to allow your attention to be dragged always to, oh, my God, that's so horrible, or I did that thing, or I made that mistake, so I must be a terrible person. But rather to recognize that everything is an opportunity for growth. And I don't say that as a cliche. I say that, you know, because I sincerely mean that. Everything is an opportunity for growth. And from a spiritual perspective, I say, you know, I don't remember which church it was I went to, and they said, nothing happens that does not pass through the hand of God, however you define God, however you experience God. Nothing happens that does not pass through the hands of God. And if so, if that's true, then the fact is that it's an opportunity to learn. It's an opportunity to approach whatever this challenge is, whatever this experience is, with the eye of, okay, what am I supposed to learn from this? And how can this experience help me on my path, my journey towards my better self? Because after all, that's what this is all about. This is all about how do we experience life as our best selves, right? And, you know, I was just thinking about this earlier on, you know, that the thing about it is we don't know. Nobody knows how much time we have, right? And so we can spend our time thinking about the mistakes we made yesterday or the day before or last year. Or we can spend the time judging our actions and saying, oh, I could have been a better parent, or, oh, I could have been a better spouse. But the opportunity to do that is right now. And so that's what I encourage, is to just be kind and compassionate in how we are assessing our progress, how we're assessing ourselves, and how we relate to others. Which then leads me into, you know, delay, the next letter, D, delay. What do I mean? You know, I mean, it's not one of those researched or documented coping strategies, but it's one that I think, based on the work that I do, that is really critical. You know how Beyonce said, put a ring on it? I say, put a pause in it. So delay judgment, delay acting or deciding if you are emotional or upset or angry, you know, if that's what's going on with you, I say, put a pause in it. Because that pause will allow you to, one, perhaps be more compassionate when you speak of yourself, to two, get a chance to breathe, to practice the breathing, and then also to kind of bring more consciousness and bring more knowledge. So if you can do the delay, putting the delay in, allows you to practice some of these other coping skills. So to make room for it, kind of like expand, you know. And I know, D, people could be thinking of dream, you know, or deliberate, or other words. But I think that delaying as a coping strategy adds to this overall sense of, okay, is that wise to do? And should I pause? So, yeah, I'm adding that to your vocabulary. I'm adding that to your ABCs. Delay judgment. Don't be looking at people just because, okay, they didn't return your call right away, so, okay, something must be going on. Or, you know, whatever it is, you're judging and saying, no, let's delay that. Let's just step back from that and say, perhaps that person is experiencing something else that has nothing to do with you or me. So we will just delay judgment, delay decisions, delay responding until, you know, we're certain, we're more aware and present and conscious of that the what we're going to communicate and how we're going to communicate it is appropriate, is compassionate, and, you know, we're willing to take responsibility for all of that. But I think that really becomes important. And so the fifth coping skill that, you know, for today that I want to talk about is empathy. So, you know, the development of empathy is a coping skill that I teach all the time. It's, you know, on almost every treatment plan I probably have, development of empathy. But what is empathy? Empathy is the ability to understand what it must feel like for the other person, whether or not you have experienced the same thing. So I've lost a sibling, right? Not everybody has lost a sibling. But if you can imagine what that might feel like, then, you know, okay, you might be like, okay, that might make me really sad. Or that might, you know, make me really angry. Or, you know, what are the feelings that might be generated from losing a sibling? So that's the development of empathy, is being able to experience and some understanding of what it must feel like for the other person. And so empathy is a skill that I think we all need to practice, that we all need to pay attention to, because, yeah, so often we are not empathizing. And I think if there was more empathy in the world, that, you know, we would have better relationships. So, you know, empathy is the ability to understand how the other person might be feeling. So connecting with the sadness, or connecting with the anger, or connecting with the sense of loss, or connecting with the fact that that person has experienced trauma and what that must be like for that person, right? Can you imagine what that would feel like if that were me, if that were you? How would that feel? And just being able to sit and be present and be aware of that. To just imagine, wow. You know, I lost everything to a fire. Wow. Or my neighbor lost everything to, what does that feel like? The sense of dread, the sense of terror, you know, that sense of loss. Where do you start? So empathy, really critical. So I'm convinced that the development of coping strategies, the development of coping skills is, it's almost like packing your toolbox for life. Putting these things into your toolbox becomes really helpful. So I think, you know, if we can be aware of what they are, be aware of that these coping skills exist, without having to read a 400-page self-help book, might be helpful. But I think it's my job, you know, to help people understand it, to kind of break it down, because this is what I do and this is what I like to do. And, you know, consciously choosing to connect with things that make me feel good, that make me feel like I'm contributing. So,
Remember now, folks, it's about developing awareness, consciousness, knowledge, being present and taking responsibility, the breath which connects us to life. Nothing more important than your breath. Nothing more important than breathing. So when I say to people, take some time to just breathe, whether it's when you get up in the morning, to just take a breath and to say, oh, I'm among the living, you know, and just experience that breath, which still connects you to the life, that, you know, the land of the living. Because that's the difference, right? You know, you hear people talk about last breath. So that's the difference between being alive and being dead. It's the breath. Having compassion, understanding, kindness for self first, because I think that's what's critical. That if you can be kind to self, then you can be kind to others. It becomes easier to be kind to others. And then, yeah, putting that pause in, delaying judgment, delaying decision, delaying whatever you're going to do until you're relatively certain that it is the right thing to do, that it feels good for you, and that it's not a rushed or a rash decision. And then empathy, really understanding how the other person might feel and how would you want someone to respond to you if that were you. How would you want someone to treat you? What would you want them to think? So it becomes really critical. So, you know, I hope that these five tips, awareness, breathing, the breath, compassion, delaying, and empathy, are helpful. Pack them in your toolbox. Use them often. And then I'll see you next week, you know, as we move towards talking about forgiveness and hope and imagination and joining, you know, what joining means. So until next time, be well.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Discussions with Delia. Please follow me on Twitter at Discussion Delia or like our Facebook page, Delia Positively Speaking. See you next week. Peace and blessings.